So yeah, David just mentioned that here we are. It's the final week of hashtag Do You Know Him. And I really shouldn't be surprised by this because there was so much prayer that has gone into the preparation and planning of this campaign over the past couple of years. A lot of our plans got blown out of the water with COVID, but altogether what we were aiming to do was just asking all of Telford the question, do you know Jesus? And that includes honestly asking ourselves that question as well. Like, do we really know Jesus? And you might just sit here and say, well, of course I do. I mean, I'm here as part of the church. And many of us can say, well, we've been a part of the church for years. Yeah, and I'm not denying that you can't know and experience Jesus through the church. You definitely can. But knowing church life and the ways of the church isn't always or necessarily the same as knowing Jesus. Because following Jesus and doing stuff for the church are oftentimes two very different things. And I've been really wrestling with this question over the past couple of months, and I've spoken to a few of you about this. And I just feel strongly convicted to say that, honestly, I'm not sure I know Jesus all that well. I've learned a lot about him over the years. But the question isn't how much do you know about Jesus? It's do you know him? Because to know someone means to share in moments and experiences together. It's kind of like when you can predict how someone is going to react to a situation. You know them. And knowing someone is far more relational than it is intellectual. And intellectually, I know that faith in who Jesus is offers us a relationship with the living God. But how much have I taken him up on this offer? And how much have I stepped away from the relational element and settled for simply believing in who Jesus is because it's easier that way? Because believing in him is not the same as knowing him. Believing in him doesn't necessarily mean you've shared these moments and these experiences together or that you will know how he's going to respond in a situation that you're in. And what I mean by sharing in these moments and experiences is actually displayed in our opening verse of Luke 8. Because it says, my translation was a bit different than the reading. But it says, soon afterwards he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, who were providing for them out of their own means. So these women were providing for Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. So just think about that. Because here we have God in the flesh, the creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, putting himself in a position as he seeks to save all of creation at the mercy of these women, who many have come from some pretty shady backgrounds. I don't know if things are changing in our society today, but there's still this stigma that men should be the providers. But this was certainly the case during Jesus' time. And he puts himself and his disciples in the position where they had to rely on the charity of these women. He willfully chose to become the charity case. But in doing so, he gave these rejected and despised women an opportunity to become these critical agents in the kingdom of God. They helped Jesus carry out his mission. And in just a couple chapters later in Luke, Jesus will send his disciples out on their own to proclaim and bring the good news of the kingdom. And when he sends them out, he says, don't take any money with you. Don't take any extra clothes. Don't take food. Don't take anything. Go with absolutely nothing and find those who are willing to receive you, to feed you, to give you a place to sleep. Give those people an opportunity to become agents in God's kingdom. And Jesus tells them, stay in whatever household that will take you in. See, now through this, he's inviting his disciples to share in his experience as the Savior of all of creation, to share in that absolute humility. And then again in Matthew 8, Jesus has this encounter with one of the religious scribes, one of the elites, who actually believes in Jesus. And he tells Jesus, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus responds, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So are you prepared to live a life where you completely empty yourself, where you completely die to yourself so that others can be lifted up and empowered? You say, I'll follow you wherever you go, but that's the place where Jesus is taking us. To know Jesus is to share in the life that he experienced, the life of sacrifice, so that others can be lifted up and empowered. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Because yes, we are a few of the many that Jesus gave his life for, but we are also a few of the many that Jesus has called to follow him in doing what he has done, to humble ourselves, to take up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, to love others and put their needs before our own, even when the others are our enemy. Following Jesus into a life like this is to know Jesus, to share in the life that he experienced. And there's one other thing that really grabs my attention just from those opening verses in Luke 8. It says, Jesus went through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And then the reading goes to the parable that Jesus taught that shows how people will either reject or receive the message of the good news of God's kingdom. And that many who do receive this message, well, they just don't live it out. Well, not for long anyway. But what was that message that Jesus was proclaiming and bringing? So what's your understanding of the gospel? Because I've always heard it presented in one way, and I've always understood it in one way through most of my Christian life. Like, the gospel is a message of how Jesus died the death that we deserve. He died for our sins, so that those who believe in him will one day live with him in heaven. That's typically how the gospel is taught. Jesus dies for our sins so that we can go to heaven. But I don't really believe that this is the message that Jesus was proclaiming and bringing as he was going through these cities and villages. I mean, how could he bring a message like that? He might have been proclaiming something like this, but it also says that he was bringing the message of the kingdom of God. He was bringing them something for then and there, at that moment. It's not a message of what will happen when we die, but a message for now. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the way, the truth, the life. Jesus came to show us the way to true life. Life as it was intended by our Creator. A life that reflects the image of our triune God. A life driven by love that denies itself and is more concerned about lifting up the other. So if your understanding of the gospel is only concerned about the afterlife, well, that's not the gospel, not all of it anyway. The gospel that Jesus proclaimed and brought was a message about life, how it is to be lived out and how it can be lived out through Jesus. Now, Jesus took his disciples along with him throughout his ministry, teaching them what it means and looks like to live in God's kingdom here and now. And just before Jesus ascended, he told them to go and make disciples. Go and show others how to live in this kingdom of God. Jesus' exact words were, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. So how is he with us today? Well, through the Holy Spirit and through his word, the Bible. I think that's not an exhaustive list, but that does seem to be like the two big ones. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to glorify Jesus, to reveal and shine a light on the life and sacrifice of Jesus. The word of God was given to reveal and shine a light on the life and sacrifice of Jesus. And I guess you could also say that the role of the disciple is to reveal and shine a light on the life and sacrifice of Jesus. So maybe I was wrong. I guess you can say there are three big ones here, if you include the disciple. But the message of Jesus isn't a message primarily about sin. It's about Jesus clearing the way and showing us the way to live into the kingdom of God here and now. And along the way, he never imposed his kingdom on anyone. He always leaves it up to them to choose. And we have that same choice today. Do we really want to know Jesus? To know his suffering? To be a disciple of Jesus? And know the life that he lived and has called us to? Is that really what we want? Or are we content? Or more comfortable with simply believing in him and hoping for the best? And being a part of the church as it is? I'm not content at all with either of those. There's so much about Jesus that I don't know. But that's what I want to dedicate the rest of my life to. Getting to know him. I'm done learning about him. I want to know him. I want to share in the life that he lived and calls us into. And that's just such a scary journey to take. And that's my prayer for you too. That you will hear the fullness of the gospel and will choose to learn how to love and live in the ways of Jesus. Amen.